I'm Daniel Chacon. Welcome to another edition of Words on a Wire. Today, I have a very special show. We are going to talk about a book that actually appears in Spanish and is published in Mexico. It's called Los Hijos de Whitman, Poesía Norteamericana del Siglo XXI. And that is The Children of Whitman, North American Poetry of the 21st Century. And it's edited and translated by a fantastic Nicaraguan poet that I met in Mexico City this last summer, Francisco Larios. Fantastic poet. We're going to talk to him about how he put this poetry together. There are over 100 poems here, and he not only chose the poems, but he translated them himself. And I'm thinking, my gosh, how can you do that? How can you translate so many poems? It must have taken him 40 years or so. Because it takes a long time to translate a poem. Translators will tell you that translating a poem is like writing a poem. You really have to be very precise, and there's choices that you have to make. It's not like translating a document. I remember when I met Francisco in Mexico City, he was there as part of the same poetry festival that I was invited to. I remember one time we were on our way. They were taking us to another reading, and they asked me which poem I wanted to read. And I says, well, I wanted to read something different from what I had read earlier, because they were driving us around all over Mexico City to do readings here and readings there. The problem was the poem wasn't translated into Spanish. And one of the organizers of the event says, okay, well, which one do you want? And I says, this one. And I showed it to him. And he says, okay, I'll translate it on the way over there. I'm thinking, how is that possible? How can you translate a poem on the way to a poetry reading? I didn't think it was possible. But he did it. And I'm sure the translation could be revised, just like a poem needs revision. But it was a pretty decent translation in a very short time. And so in memory of that, virtually on my way to the studio today, I took a poem written by Francisco Larios called Defensa de la Patria. It's one of the poems he read in Mexico City, and a poem that I really love. And I wrote a very quick translation of it. I would probably need more time to revise it to make it as beautiful as the poem is written in Spanish. But I'm going to surprise him with it and read my very quick translation of one of his poems. But first, we're going to talk about how this incredible collection of North American poetry came about. And we're talking about poets that everybody loves in the United States. C.D. Wright, Martin Espada, Lee Young Lee, Jane Hirschfield. I mean, just incredible poets, over 100 of them. So stick around, and we're going to talk about this incredible collection, The Children of Whitman, Los Hijos de Whitman. Francisco Larios is from Nicaragua, but he currently lives in the United States. He is a poet who has published many, many books, including Cada Sol Repetido, Babel y Exilios, and Oficio de Tinieblas. Clearly, he writes in Spanish. And this book that we're going to talk about today, Los Hijos de Whitman, is a collection of North American poems of the 21st century translated into Spanish. It's put out by Valparaíso, which is a fantastic poetry press out of Mexico. We're going to talk to him. He is a poet and also a professor at Miami-Dade College of, not poetry, but business and economics. Francisco Larios, welcome to Words on a Wire.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me. I'm happy to have finally made it.
Well, you know, you're referring to how hard it was for us to set up this schedule because you're a poet, and poets are hard to pin down, right?
Well, we have a very special link to reality.
That's right.
It's difficult sometimes.
Yeah, but it's good to finally get you on the show. And this is kind of a groundbreaking show because we're doing a book. It's called Los Hijos de Whitman. You are the editor and the translator, and it's called Los Hijos de Whitman, Poesía Norteamericana, Siglo XXI. And
right.
It's a beautiful collection of U.S. poetry translated into Spanish, and therefore the title, The Children of Whitman. First of all, let me ask you, why Whitman? Why not the children of Frost or the children of Plath? Why Walt Whitman?
Well, I do honestly feel that the Whitman begins a complete transformation of how poetry is written, read, felt in English, and probably in Spanish as well, believe it or not. And he also inaugurates this spirit of democracy and in openness and acceptance and tolerance in poetry that actually allows so many different traditions these days in the U.S. poetry world. And I think part of what I've said in the prologue of this book is that the,
yeah.
Nowadays you take a look at the diversity, the vast diversity of poetry in the U.S., and it really looks like they've all been invited by Whitman and accepted because of that.
Right, right. And he's been tremendously influential on Latin American poets.
Yes, he has. Yes, absolutely. Certainly to me, I mean, I do have a special personal link to the Whitman, and I do have sitting in front of me a very old edition of Leaves of Grass, translated into Spanish. That I stole from my father when I was a child, and I never returned it to him.
Oh, so really? That's
it's very. It's very special to me.
Wow! And who translated it?
It's a translator from Spain, maybe 60 years ago. I don't remember the name right now.
Wow! And you're from Nicaragua. You're considered a Nicaraguan poet.
I am, yes. Yes.
And who is the Walt Whitman of Nicaragua?
Well, it's certainly Rubén Darío.
Right.
He's the dominant figure there, yeah, for sure. He's the father of poetry in the country, and probably the father of the country as well.
When did you get interested in, you say you stole this book from your father. How old were you when you...
I was probably around 12.
Wow.
And I was already reading poetry because I loved it, and my father had lots of books, but this particular one was small. It was green, and it was placed where the medical encyclopedias were. so I had never touched it until one day. I just know why I pulled it out, and I started reading it, and I took it to my room. And it never left me.
I
brought it to the country. I moved with it from state to state and from house to house. And it's just a very special book for me.
Wow, that's a beautiful story. And, you know, I'm thinking about your book here, Los Hijos de Whitman. And there are, I don't know how many poets, young poets, established poets, very contemporary poets from the United States. And I'm thinking just... choosing the poems and the poets itself reflects something about you, and the title reflects something about you. How did this book come about? And as you were starting to put it together, did you start to see levels and shapes that maybe you hadn't considered before?
Yeah, well, this was actually a very long work.
I bet.
Three and a half years, and it started... because for a long time, I've actually done translations, and I sent them to different publications, and frequently to Circo de Poesía in Mexico. And Ali Calderón, the director of Circo de Poesía, said to me, why don't we do an anthology in print? And so I started to work, and the first decision you have to make is, what is the criteria, right? And so I basically... I don't believe in this scientific anthologies or scientific justification for anthologies where you set up either arbitrary criteria regarding age or generations or some other abstract aesthetic concept.
Right.
I basically say, well, this is if I'm going to do this, this is going to be part of my aesthetic search, my aesthetic path. And in essence, do I like it or do I not like it? Does it say anything to me or doesn't it say anything to me? And I started going about in a more systematic way, reading lots of U.S. contemporary poetry. I got some help, some advice from some established poets. And I read thousands of poems until I selected these 109 authors that you have in the book. I think it could be twice as big, right?
Oh, yeah.
There's so much good poetry in the U.S. It's a huge country with such an immense amount of poetry around it.
Right.
I was actually shocked about what I kept discovering.
Well, you know, that answer makes a lot of sense, and it surprises me in a sense because, I mean, Wes, as I'm going into this book, I guess I didn't notice that there wasn't. It wasn't like a lot of anthologies where, you know, here's America between, you know, U.S. between these dates and these dates, or here's postmodern poets, or here's, you know, I mean, there were no categories. And so each poem really kind of was just something you loved. And so it really does kind of reflect you, this book, Los Hijos de Whitman. It does kind of reflect your love and your passion for poetry. And you get that as you're reading it. It's a beautiful book.
Some people criticize the fact that this book reflects the person who compiled the collection, right? But because I like different kinds of poetry, I think there's a diversity of styles here also that probably makes it seem like there is a criterion of diversity, but it's accidental. It's just that I like the different forms and different. Yeah. Spirits.
Well, you know, every book, I think, you know, really needs to carry our passion and our love. And this one certainly is full of that. It's full of that love. And I'm thinking about one of the things that I really appreciate about the book is you have a lot of Latino poets in here. You have Adal Limón, you have Eduardo Corral, you have Martín Espada. It accurately, I think, reflects the Latino contribution to American, quote, American literature, U.S. literature. But it's also got a lot of other diverse poets. It has Asian poets. It has Native American poets. It has Euro-American poets. It's like an incredibly diverse collection, anthology that reflects the true complex diversity in North America. Was that a conscious choice to make it so representative?
Not at all. I assure you, not at all. I was actually surprised. And as I was getting to the end of this, I began to think about the pattern, the what I was finding here. And I actually began counting. And I realized that, for example, 58% of the poets are women,
right? Yeah.
And then I began to, which wasn't planned at all. I mean, I'm not thinking in those terms. I was just casting my net and looking around to see what exists. And this is what exists out there. You don't really have to decide that people are going to have this percentage or that percentage. This is the diversity of society in the United States,
right.
And this is the diversity of culture, and this is the diversity of poetry. This is what you find if you just open your eyes, right? There's all these different cultures and languages national origins and sexual orientations and all this. This is it, right? This is the true country, I believe.
Right, definitely. And you know what's interesting about this is that this anthology is put together by somebody who reads poetry. And I say that, I'm not being, you know, facetious when I say that. I guess what I mean is you have C.D. Wright, and who's one of the greatest poets that have ever come out of the United States. She's unfortunately
right.
Passed on. We had her on the show before she passed on. It was really intimidating because I was new at the show, and I was so blown away by her. And I remember I asked her a question about the her latest book. I says, I really understand this book, and it seems to be more transparent than the other one. I think that kind of irked her a bit because she goes, well, I didn't want to be opaque. But and then you have Rita Dove, and these are really established great U.S. poets. But then you have poets like Kathy Lynn Chie, you know, who has one book, and it's a fantastic book. We've also had her on the show. You have people like Eduardo Corral. You have people like Lely Long Soldier. You have all these new poets as well as the more established poets. You must spend a lot of time reading poetry.
I do. Actually, I love reading poetry, and I obviously intensified my reading activity as I was working on this. And I was not just looking at books. I was looking at magazines, and there is, in fact, here, and you will kill me right now because my memory is so bad, but there is one poet here, a woman, who had not published a book when I decided to include her poem.
Oh, really?
And the fact is that I found her poem in The New Yorker. It was actually, I think, the first poem that she had ever published.
Wow, that's quite a first publication.
It was the first publication. Not only that, but she published this when she was 61 or 62.
Oh, my God.
Her name is Marilyn Grigas, G-R-I-G-A-S.
Uh-huh.
And believe it or not, I tried to contact her because I like the poem. And she works in some glass shop out there in Vermont, so I really had a hard time getting in touch with her, but I finally did.
Wow.
But I didn't care that she hadn't published, that she had no, you know, other poems available. I think eventually she did publish a poetry collection, which is quite good, actually. But as I said, I was quite open to any source, because what I wanted to do was a collection of poems rather than a collection of poets.
Right. Oh, I understand that distinction. That's fantastic. And the name of the poem by Marilyn Grigas is Ciudades Lejanas,
right.
Yes. Distant Cities. There are just so many good poems in this, and I wish we had more time, because we could spend so much time talking about this, but I wanted to ask you one of the things that I'm really interested in. I was in Mexico City recently last summer, where I met you. You were one of the featured poets there. And I gave this talk on Chicano poetry, Chicano literature, you know, vis-a-vis Mexican literature and Mexican readers. And it really started to get me to think about the community, the bridge, the separation, or whatever it is, between the Latin American poets and the U.S. Latino poets. Can you talk a little bit about how you see these communities maybe coming together? Are they coming together more now than they have perhaps in the past?
Well, first, there is a great separation or lack of mutual knowledge between poetry written in English and poetry written in Latin America and Spanish these days. Unfortunately, that interaction seemed to have been more active up until the time of the Beats, that people in Latin America knew more about U.S. poetry. And I don't really think that there is much more interaction between Latin poetry in Latin America and Latino poetry in the U.S. these days. There should be more. And strangely enough, there is an unplanned convergence stylistically, because there is so much influence by U.S. culture at large that I believe it influences the language, it influences the syntax in Latin America.
Wow.
So there's that undercurrent that is common to both Latino poetry written in the U.S. and Latin American poetry, even though there is really not that much flow between the two.
That's really interesting that you're saying that the syntax is influencing Latin American poets, the English syntax from the United States. And I'm thinking of a lot of the early Chicano poets whose syntax were influenced by Latin Americans, who were influenced by Neruda and influenced by Roque Dalton, was incredibly influential for Chicano poets in the past. And I'm wondering if there's some sort of convergence that Latino poets started.
I believe there is.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I believe there is, and I think it's inevitable. I think it's one of those byproducts of globalization, right? Now, what we need to make sure is that we actually have more of a flow, among the poets, so that we can actually be more aware, more conscious of what we can actually grab from one another and use to create in our own languages, right? But at an unconscious level, I think it's happening anyway.
You know, that's interesting, because in Mexico City, one of the things that struck me, was that I wasn't the only Chicano Latino from the U.S. that was invited. There was Lorna D. Cervantes, there was Cristina Garza, there was Alejandro Mujillo, and that's just to name a few. And there seemed to be incredible interest on the part of young Mexican poets to understand and to include Latino poets, which I don't think you'll find, for example, at AWP or conferences in the U.S. where U.S. poets are trying to bring poets from Mexico, to share in the celebration of poetry. It just seemed like this is going to be the future. There's going to be more interaction between Latin America, U.S. Latinos, and even actually internationally, because one of the things I noticed in these poetry festivals and throughout Latin America is they are international. It's not just insular, not even in terms of the country or the language. It's inclusive of just good poetry.
I hope you get a chance to go to the festival in Granada, for example, in Nicaragua, or I don't know if you've been to Medellin, but you have poets from all over the world going to this festival. And that's one of the motivations for this anthology, because as a friend of mine said to me, do you imagine if we don't do these translations, how many poems would not be born? Right? Because we enrich one another, right? We actually give one another ideas and perspectives and feelings, and we can react. And that's how we create new things.
We're talking to Francisco Larios, editor and translator of a fantastic collection of U.S. poetry in Spanish, Los Hijos de Whitman, Poesía Norteamericana del Siglo XXI. And it's put out by Valparaíso, Mexico, Valparaíso, Mexico, as opposed to Valparaíso, España. And I'm wondering, how do people in the U.S. get this book? Where can they order this book?
They can get it through Amazon, and that's one way. If they're in Miami, they can get it at a couple of bookstores. They could also get it, I think they can go to the website of Valparaíso, Mexico, and they can actually purchase it there, and they'll get a copy by mail. But it's in Amazon, definitely.
There are so many poets in this collection that we have had on the show, and it was really exciting to see some of the translations because I knew a lot of the poems. But one that really struck out with me is recently, or when Bright Dead Things by Ada Limón came out, we had her on the show, and we had her read the poem that you translated. In English, it's called How to Triumph Like a Girl. It's a beautiful poem, very powerful and very influential poem, by the way. And I'm wondering if maybe you could read it in Spanish, and then our producer has agreed to go into our archives and to find the poem the way she read it when she read it on the air, and we can have you read it and then have her read it. How does that sound?
Oh, that sounds great. Yeah, let me know, and I'll get going.
Get going. We're ready.
All right. All right, so this is Cómo Triunfar Siendo Una Muchacha by Ada Limón. Me gustan más que nada las damas equinas que aparentan hacerlo todo sin esfuerzo, como si correr a 40 millas por hora fuera tan divertido como tomar la siesta o el pasto. Me gusta su altivo contoneo de yegua tras cada victoria. Orejas en alto, muchachas, orejas en alto. Pero ante todo, seamos francos, lo que me gusta es que son damas, como si tan grande y peligroso animal fuese una parte de mí, como si en algún lugar dentro de la piel delicada de mi cuerpo bombeara un corazón de caballo hembra de 8 libras, poderoso y gigante, cargado de sangre. ¿No quieres creerlo? No me hagas levantarme la blusa, mostrarte cómo palpita la enorme y formidable máquina que cree, no, que sabe, que ganará la carrera.
And now let's hear it from Ada Limón.
How to triumph like a girl. I like the lady horses best, how they make it all look easy, like running 40 miles per hour is as fun as taking a nap or grass. I like their lady horse swagger after winning. Ears up, girls, ears up. But mainly, let's be honest, I like that they're ladies, as if this big, dangerous animal is also a part of me, that somewhere inside the delicate skin of my body, there pumps an 8-pound female horse heart, giant with power, heavy with blood. Don't you want to believe it? Don't you want to lift my shirt and see the huge, beating, genius machine that thinks, no, it knows, it's going to come in first.
That was Ada Limón and Francisco Larios reading the same poem, How to Triumph Like a Girl, and Francisco's translation. You know, it's interesting. When I had her on the show, I called her Ada Limón. And she goes, no, it's Ada Limón, which was
which is
really interesting because, Ada is a very, non-Latino way of pronouncing it.
Right.
And it just kind of really shows a lot of, you know, U.S. Latino experience, you know, where Ada the first name, but Limon the last name.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if we have time, but you are a poet yourself. You're a fantastic poet. I heard you read in Mexico City. I've read your poems before, and I love what you're working on. And there's one poem in particular that I like. I read it first in an anthology, a different anthology from Valparaíso, but I think it's also available to read online. It's called Defensa de la Patria, Homeland Security. Right. Can you read that poem for us in Spanish?
Sure. I'd be happy. Okay. Defensa de la patria. Ni la migra sabe cuánto fui deportado, ni cuánto extrañé los dos flancos de la margen que me trunca. La migra no puede imaginar este refugio sin techo y repleto de estrellas que atravieso en la noche. En esta noche y en este refugio, en compañía de otros como yo, sin techo y llenos de estrellas, cruzo la tiniebla a mis anchas. Es la única libertad que conozco.
That was Francisco Larios. And I took the liberty of translating the poem into English for our English language listeners. And it's probably not a very good translation, but give me time to work on it. It'll be even better.
Okay.
So, do you mind if I read it?
Yeah, of course not.
Okay,
I'm sure it's a good translation.
Well, probably not, but give me some time. Defense of the Motherland, Homeland Security. Not even La Migra knows how many were deported, nor how much I missed both sides of all the walls that Trump me. La Migra can't imagine this roofless shelter full of stars that cross at night, in this night, and in this shelter, in company of others like me, no roof and full of stars. I cross the darkness at ease. It's the only freedom I know.
Wow. Well, that's good. Thank you very much.
Well, you know, I took little liberties to use the word Trump because
that's really, well,
the walls that Trump me, you know.
That's actually very clever, yeah. Sure.
But it's a fantastic poem. I really love your poetry. I love this anthology, and I look forward to hearing what you're going to be doing next. I'd like to thank you, Francisco, for joining us on Words on a Wire.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you very much.
I'd like to thank Francisco Larios for joining me for this edition of Words on a Wire. The name of the anthology is Los Hijos de Whitman. Check it out. It's a fantastic collection of U.S. poetry translated into Spanish. I'd like to thank our producer, Lauren Terrazas, and I'd like to thank you for joining us on Words on a Wire. See you next time. Hasta la next time.